Morning. Let's turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But let the brother of humble circumstances glory in his high position, and let the rich man glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off. The beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this morning. I just pray for your presence, God, and I pray that you will speak to us and help us to meet with you today, and help us to pray and just spend time with you today, God. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. James is the new book that I just started doing in my quiet time book. So I'll be sharing from James as I get opportunities to share at EMP. So James is written by James, the brother of Jesus. And he was one of the prominent leaders in the early church, right? You can read about him in Acts and all the things that he does as a leader. And he really plays a role in mediating peace when conflict arises within the church, whether the gospel is meant for the Gentiles or just for the Jews. And Paul and Peter and them kind of say, you know, God has opened the way for the Gentiles. So James kind of plays a role as a leader in those times. So he was a real prominent leader. And when he writes this letter, he mostly writes to Jewish believers because that was his focus. So I just want to go through three major points that I think comes out from this passage that we read this morning. So the first part is verse 2, 3, and 4. He talks about going through difficult times. Right? He says, whenever you go through various trials, whenever you encounter various trials, consider it all joy, because that testing of your faith will produce endurance. And another word for endurance is steadfastness. You know, it produces for us a steadfast faith, you know, a persevering faith. And when that has perfected when that has completed its work, we will be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So he talks about going through different trials, different difficult times, temptations. You know, when we go through difficult times, when we face trials and difficulty, how many of us think joy, you know, when we go through a difficult time? It could be anything, right? Just a difficult time. Could be something serious, could be something silly. But whenever we go through a hard time, we don't think joy. We think, why? We want to know, why, God? Why is this happening to me? You know, and we tend to get quite philosophical whenever, like, things like that happen to us or things like that happen to other people. We think, you know, like, why is this happening? You know, is God the one that causes these things to happen? Or is it as a result of free will, but God somehow redeems it and works through it? And we always, like, we don't understand these things, and we want to know why. But as Dr. Kraft, when he was here, kind of shared with us, God doesn't always answer the why questions that we ask him. But what God promises is that he will be with us. So we'll see that in this passage, James is quite practical, you know. So he doesn't really deal with the philosophical, like, why? Is it God doing it? And actually, if you read through the Bible, it's quite ambiguous, right? It doesn't really actually say God is the one who causes these things to happen, or free will is the thing that causes these things to happen, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of the times when they talk about going through trials and difficulty and persevering, they just say, well, persevere through it and consider it joy. Consider it a good thing, because out of that you're going to come out strong and you're going to come out knowing more about God and being more steadfast in your faith. You're going to be refined as gold and refined as silver, and you're going to be, you're going to grow as a result of it. So that is the truth, you know? I mean, we know from our experience that when we go through tough times, and we stay with God, we stick close to God, we grow. You know, we learn to have a deeper faith, a deeper relationship with God, and a deeper conviction that God is good and that he is faithful when we go through these difficult times. I want to read Psalm 68:4, if you could turn there with me, please. Psalm 68, verse 4. Psalm 68, verse 4. In my Bible, it says, sing to God, sing praises to his name. Lift up a song for him who rides through the deserts, whose name is the Lord, and exalt before him. I don't know what your version says. Some versions will say, lift up a song for him who rides upon clouds, or something like that, like who's a cloud rider, or something like to that extent. But mine and many other versions will say this: lift up a song for him who rides through the deserts. So I was reading this yesterday, and that kind of just jumped out at me, that God chooses to describe himself as one who rides through the deserts. I mean, God can describe himself as anything, right? There's so many things that he uses to describe himself. Lift up a song to him who is faithful, you know, who is the creator of the universe, who is father to the fatherless. It could be so many things. Who is Yahweh, you know, who is almighty, et cetera, et cetera. But in this passage, I mean, I don't know where, if it says this anywhere else in the Bible, but it just jumped out at me. It says, lift up a song for him, and the description that King David chooses for God in this time is who rides through the deserts, you know? And if you read through the rest of this psalm, the context is he's kind of talking about the time that the Israelites were in the wilderness, you know, and how God was with them through the wilderness and how God met them on Mount Sinai when they were in the wilderness. So that's kind of the context that he's writing about. But that passage, I mean, that line, you know, who rides through the desert, just jumped out at me. And what it meant for me was God is one who is with us, you know, who walks with us through the desert times. You know, he doesn't leave us, abandon us, and he's not just in the good times, but he is with us, walking with us, riding through the desert with us when we are walking through the wilderness time. Because he's a faithful God, you know. And if you look at the time that the Israelites were in the wilderness, God was not only just with them riding through the desert. I mean, he protected them. He provided for them. He guided them, right? He met all their needs. Even though they were walking through it as kind of a punishment for their lack of faith, in a sense. You know, God was still faithful to them, and he walked with them. He was there with them in the desert. So as we face difficult trials and difficult times, when we remember and hold on to our conviction and our faith that God is good and he is faithful and he's one that walks through the desert with us, we can grow in our steadfastness of faith. And it's kind of like what P. Sam was talking about last week during EMP, you know, when Jesus was on the cross and he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. P. Sam talks about how heaven is never more scared when a believer, when he looks around and sees no evidence of God, still chooses to say, God, I trust you anyway. You know, that's when we have faith and trust in God, you know. So that's kind of the idea here. James says, when you go through difficult times, it's pure joy because through that you're going to learn to persevere. Through that you're going to learn to endure. You're going to learn to be steadfast in your faith. And then the second thing that he talks about is asking God for wisdom, right? In verse 5 it says, If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. That's a great promise that we have from God, that he is going to be with us. Not only is he going to be with us, but he's going to give us wisdom when we ask of him. Whenever we're going through a difficult time, we're going through a confusing time, God says, ask me for wisdom and I'll give you generously. I'll give to those generously that ask of me, and I won't rebuke him. You know, he says, he gives to all men generously and without reproach. God is not up there thinking, you know, you can't even do this on your own. You know, what is wrong with you? That's not the kind of attitude that God has toward us. When we ask him, he is a good father and he wants to give to his children wisdom and direction and guidance. Whenever we ask of him. And so many times in my life I've experienced this where, like, I'll be going through a time where I'm confused and I don't know what to do, and I have some questions in my life or I have some issues, and I will stop even for 1 minute to pray about it and God will come through. I mean, just so often it happens. Like, it'll happen if I'm having a difficult relationship with somebody, for someone at church, and for some reason I feel like we're not connecting, or something's, you know, there's a wall between us, and I'll pray about it. Instead of just like thinking about it, just worrying about it, just doing it on my own, I'll stop and I'll pray for a minute. I'll be, God, you know, there's this thing. I just pray that it'll work out. And I don't know, it's just magical. It's not magic, right? God just moves and things will work out, and I'll have a conversation with that person, or I won't even talk to them, but then just the wall will disappear, or we won't feel that awkwardness anymore. And a lot of times when I lose something, I don't know if you guys do this, but when I lose something and I can't find it, I'll be looking for it, and then I'll stop and I'll say, God, I can't find this thing. Can you please come help me find this thing? And it's uncanny how many times I'll stop and pray, and then the next place I look, I'll find it. Or God, like, gives me this idea. I go look here, and I'll look, and I'll find it. And right now, I can't find my moleskin journal. So if you guys have seen it, please help me out. I'm praying, but it's not working right now. But but it happens to me over and over again. Where I'll pray for something, and it'll come out for me. So I'll give you an example. So this was one weekend. This was the Rugby Sevens weekend. And I had to be at church late night for some reason. I think I was preparing for a sermon or something. And it was like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. And I finally get out and I'm walking home from church. And I walk past center stage. And it's late night. And I see this lady. And she's a blonde, white girl. And she has no shoes on. And she looks like she's completely lost and confused. So I kind of just stared at her. I was like, you know, like, what's going on? Does she need any help? And when I stared at her, her first reaction was kind of like, what are you looking at, kind of thing. So I was like, what the? But then I kept looking at her because I felt like she needed some help. So I was looking, and then she kind of, eventually she confessed. And she's like, you know what? I'm actually like completely lost and stranded. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. So I was like, okay, so I thought, you know, I should help this girl out. So I go up to her and I talk to her. And she's half drunk, and it's late now. She has no shoes on. She's dressed all crazy for the Rugby Sevens. So I'm talking to her, and she basically, what happened was, she's from Australia, and she's traveling with a few friends, but she lost her wallet, she lost her phone, and she lost her friends. They were at a bar, but somehow she got stranded and lost her friends. So now she's all alone in the middle of the night, but she can't remember where she lives. Like, she can't remember the place she's staying at, but she has no idea where her friends are. She has no way to contact them. So I was like, well, do you have their phone number? You know, you can use my phone. But she's like, I don't know. I don't have a phone number. I lost my phone. So I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? So she's like, I think they're at this bar in Lan Kwai Fong. So maybe if we go back there, I'll find my friend. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll help you. So I walk with her all the way to Lan Kwai Fong. But Lan Kwai Fong is crazy at this time during a weekend, especially the Rugby Sevens weekend. So she's like, I can't find my friends, blah, blah. So I'm praying the whole way kind of under my breath, like, God, help us, help me find the right person, or, you know, find a way. And all of a sudden she has, like, light bulb comes into her head, and she's like, oh, 123 Hollywood Road. And that's kind of the address that she remembered. So 123 Hollywood Road. So she's like, okay, let's go back there. And 123 Hollywood Road is actually right across from Center Stage. So we're right there. We walked all the way to Lan Kwai Fong, and then we walked all the way back. We come back to 123 Hollywood Road. But when we get there, she's like, I don't know what flat it is, and I don't know the name of the guy that whose place we're staying at. So we go on Facebook on my phone, and then we find the name of the guy, and we ask the guards, do you know this guy? We're trying to get to his place, but the guard's like, no, I don't know. I can't help you. I mean, I guess he can't give that kind of information, right? So we're like, we're still lost. We still don't know where to go. So we sit down in the lobby of the place, and we're kind of talking and stuff. And by this time, I had already told her about church and Jesus, you know, because she asked me what I did for life. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray that Jesus will help us find a way for you to find your friends. So we pray, and it was actually really good, because, I mean, I wasn't only just praying that we'll find a way, but I got to, like, pray for her. You know, and she was quite touched. And then maybe like 2-3 minutes after prayer, she's like, oh, you know, I can Skype my friend back in Australia and get the number of the girl that I'm here with, and then maybe I can call her. So we Skype, and we find somebody that she knows that knows her friend. We get the number of the girl, and then we call her, and then she doesn't answer in the beginning, but then we call her again, and then she answers, and then all these things work out. So we're finally able to find the place that she's living at. But it all came after the prayer. You know, like, we're so lost, we didn't know what to do, but we stopped for a moment, and we just... we're like acknowledging God and saying, God, we need you to come, and we ask you that you will just do something and help us find. And then God moved. And I told her, hey, you know what? You know, God helped you. You need to go to church when you go back to Australia. She's like, yeah, I know. I should. And now I have her on Facebook, and I need to email her about it, but I don't know what to say. Like, I still haven't emailed her, but... Yeah, but, you know, all to say, we ask God for wisdom, and we take that time out to just say, God, you know, I don't know what to do. Can you come and help? God will come and help us. He will give us wisdom. He'll find, like, he'll give us ideas and he'll just come through for us, you know, and it's just what he does. And it happened, you know, and it works. So, we need to stop and pray and ask God in faith. And then the last part I want to talk about is verse 6 through 9, 6 through 8. He says, let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So I think this passage gets misused a lot in the church, especially when we talk about praying for healing. And they'll look at this passage and say, well, when you pray for faith or when you pray for healing, you need to have no doubt. You know, you need to have certainty in your heart. And, you know, people get prayed for, and sometimes they'll say, well, do you have faith that Jesus can heal you? And then they'll pray, but then nothing really happens. But then their thing is, well, you need to believe that God has healed you, you know. And kind of like, we have this wrong idea of faith, that it is convincing ourselves that something has happened, even though it hasn't really happened, kind of thing. Like, we have this idea, like, oh, we just need to convince ourselves and have 100% certainty that it'll come about. But really, this passage is not even talking about praying for healing, first of all. It's talking about praying for wisdom, asking God for wisdom. And when you ask for God for wisdom, pray in faith. And the second thing is, I mean, when you never see Jesus, in the Bible, when he prays for healing, he never says, be healed, and then say, well, just be healed in faith, you know? Like, you know, some guy is paralyzed and be healed, and nothing happens. Jesus doesn't say, well, you're healed in the spirit, you know, like, just believe that you're healed kind of thing. He doesn't do that kind of thing. He just says, be healed. And well, especially with the guy that's blind, be healed. And he's like, I still can't see. I still see figures. And he's like, well, I pray for you again. Be healed. And then the guy gets healed, right? So, I don't know, right? I'm not. But, I mean, we've heard testimonies of people that God prayed for, got this word that I'm healed, but it didn't manifest in the natural. But he believed it, and he acted upon it, and he actually gets the healing. So that, I mean, that happens as well. But I think we can take it to the extreme sometimes where we just pray for healing and then we just put the onus on them and say, well, you need to have faith that you're healed kind of thing. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think that's really where... This is definitely not what this passage is talking about. And that's not what the example we get from Jesus. So, just something for us to think about when we pray for faith. I mean, this is talking about wisdom. When we ask God for wisdom, he's going to give it to us and he's going to be with us. And even this word faith, I have some ideas, but which I won't get into today because it's already a bit past the time. But I have some ideas about this faith, and I don't think it's really talking about when you pray and when he talks about faith, like having faith that God will answer you for sure. But something else, but we'll get to that later, some other time. You can research it on your own. But main thing I want us to meditate upon today is the second point, just asking God for wisdom. You know, God is faithful, and he's with us. He walks through the desert with us. And when we need help, we can ask him. I mean, the example that I gave was kind of silly, but even through more real, more difficult times, you know, God will come in his faithfulness and his goodness and give us wisdom. So let's just go before God as Jesus leads us in worship. And let's just confess our weakness and say, God, there are times I don't know what to do. I really need your wisdom. I really need you to come through for my life. Would you come and just lead me, you know, guide me. So let's just go before the Lord.
much more than anything. You are Lord, are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You are Lord, are my heart's desire.
Let's just go before God and thank Him for His promise of wisdom, and thank Him for His faithfulness and His goodness. And let's just, if you're going through a tough time, I mean, James tells us, consider it pure joy, because through that we're going to learn to endure. We're going to learn to have a stronger faith. So let's just go before God and ask Him for wisdom in this time, and you know, for us to feel His presence. And also, if you know of anyone that's going through a tough time, let's just pray for them. Let's pray God's wisdom for them, and let's pray that they will be able to stay close to God, you know, stay committed to God even through the difficult times. Let's just pray together. Let's go to our mission focus. Let's pray for China. Let's pray for that nation. Let's pray for the missionaries there, the Chong family, Jane and John. Let's pray. Please pray for Matt and my parents as well in their ministry. And pray for the Chichihar kids that PSM Kim sponsors. And also let's pray for the government. Let's pray for the churches there. Let's pray for our Beijing church plant. It's going to happen later in this year. So let's just pray and cover this nation. Let's pray that God would really move in this place. And yeah, let's especially pray for Pastor Sam Kim and Annie and Chris and Mary as they do this church plant. So let's cover them. Let's pray together. Let's pray for the SP staff. Pastor Sam Song and Pastor Sam Kim are in Orlando. They're attending a church planting conference. So let's pray that they'll learn a lot, you know, and that God will give them strength and that they'll have a great time there. And pray for just us here. Actually, a lot of us are sick. I mean, I was sick last week. Mon was sick towards the end of the week. He's getting a bit better. And then Kenny actually texted today and he's feeling sick. And Pastor Sophia is also sick, so something's going around. So let's please pray for us. Let's pray for the elder board as well. Let's pray that God would really bless them and help them in their walk as well and strengthen them. Let's pray for the missions committee too, that God will give them wisdom and real intimacy with God. So let's pray for the leaders at our church. Let's pray for our Febe ministry. Let's pray for Pastor Salamat and Mimi and their children, Samuel and Cardia as well. And let's pray for the sisters there. They have a baptism service on Monday, next Monday. Let's just pray that God would really bless them, really keep them, and more salvation, and the sisters will be really ministered to there. And let's pray also for the Korean church. I think they're still looking for a senior pastor, so let's just pray that they'll be able to find one, and let's just pray for God's blessing and covering for our mother church, Korean church. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our house church leaders, especially for the Tuesday house church leaders as they have this break. You know, let's just pray that God would really bless them and really refresh them and rejuvenate them. Star Street is Jean-Marc and Imelda. Seymour is Hyde, and Jisun Lan Kwai Fong is Matt and Pastor Sophia. So let's just pray for them. Let's just cover them. Let's cover the SP move. Let's pray for good fundraising, that we will be able to raise all the funds that God will provide for us. Let's pray that we'll find the right building. Let's pray for the building search committee. Let's just pray that God will bless them and give them wisdom in this time. So let's just cover the move. And also let's pray for the vine, that God will bless them as well. Let's pray together. Father, thank you, Lord, for your love. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that you are one that rides through the desert, God. Whenever we're in the wilderness, God, you're right there with us, leading us, guiding us, God, protecting us. And you promised to give us wisdom, you know, when we need it. So I just pray for your wisdom for every single one of us today. Whatever we're going through, whether it's work or relationships, I just pray, God, that your wisdom will be upon us, God, that we will know what to do, what to say. And guide us, Lord, today. I just pray for your favor over each and every person here, God. Protect them and lead them. And we thank you. We love you. We want to live for you today. God, so Holy Spirit, come and be with us. Fill us up, God. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day today.